This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. Hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. It is time now to talk some MLB All-Star Game and Rangers second half. Sean McFarland, our friend from the Dallas Morning News, joins us now here on your home of the champs. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
What's going on, guys? How we doing?
Well, we're doing pretty good, especially how the Rangers played baseball when we last left off. Let's start there, Sean. How much have the Rangers righted the ship at this point?
I think it's huge. I think, honestly, just going into the break, feeling good about where they're at is a massive plus. You know, I was in Houston with them. I was in Anaheim with them. And you could just get a sense from, you know, players, coaches, and staff that, you know, they felt positive about where things were going into the second half. You saw a lot of things go right, especially in the Houston series, you know, winning big, intense games where there's such a large or small margin of error. I think it just builds that confidence that they can make a run if things go as they did in the last week, once the second half begins.
It's a tough second half to begin with Baltimore there. Now, they played Baltimore really well on the road a couple weeks ago, but they did drop 3 of 4. What sense or vibe do you get from management and the front office as to what needs to happen here to be buyers or sellers? Do you think maybe they're just going to stand pat?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, and this is – I'm trying not to be too much of a cop-out here, but it's like I think if they're going to be buyers – you got to see more baseball that you saw last week against Anaheim and Houston and Tampa Bay. If it looks like the previous weeks of baseball before that, you know, who knows, you know, if it's, especially if it does become a seller's market because of the added wild card, there's so many more teams in contention, there's less teams selling, you might get a premium on your return. But look, they won the World Series last year. There's a really good core here. You know, this team wants to contend. They want to make a push. They want to see the signs that says, let's invest in this team. So, I mean, I think if they come into the second half and play the same baseball they were this last week against Houston and Anaheim, and they, you know, I don't know if they have to, like, go out and sweep Baltimore, but if they look, if they're in contention against Baltimore, they handle business against Chicago, they go to Toronto, they play well there. You know, they're only 5 games back right now. You know, it's not the strongest division. I think it just takes a good week or two of baseball to say, let's continue to invest in this current team.
Sean, when do you expect to see Josh Jung back in the lineup?
Yeah, so he took a big step on Sunday in Houston. He hit off the tee with a regular bat for the first time since his last rehab start, which was in mid-June. You know, he's still working out over this break. And I think, you know, if all goes well, there's no setbacks, they ideally want to get him some rehab at-bats in the minors not too long, you know, into the second half. You know, I think hopefully within the next week or so, should everything continue to progress well. But look, the timeline on him, it feels like changes every week. They don't want to do anything that's going to cause further setbacks or further injury. They're going to be smart about it. But, you know, if all goes well, I think within these next couple of weeks, we're going to get closer, have him back in the lineup.
Hey, Sean, if I could circle back, if they do become a seller, what type of return can you project that at all? Or what, it just depend on who they move on from, who they get back Is that kind of how this is going to work on this? Or, I mean, or can you, as a guy that covers this every day, do you have an idea like, okay, if they move on from a reliever, this is what we expect for them to get back?
Yeah, I think it's tough to project until you know what they would be willing to sell. But I think if you look at last year, you know, the Rangers gave up two prospects in Tekoa Roby and Thomas Sagisi, who were, you know, kind of just outside the top 100 to get Jordan Montgomery and Chris Stratton. And if you're looking at what this team has to sell, you're looking at a plethora of starters. You're looking at, you know, a David Robinson or a Kirby Yates, you know, those type of back end relief bullpen guys. I think, you know, you hope for a similar package, you know, ideally, but, you know, it all kind of depends on how the market shakes out and who's selling and who's buying, I think.
Sean McFarland, Morning News with us. Okay, Ray Davis has been a buyer in a big way during his ownership tenure, but then there have been like long gaps of not spending in between. Obviously, the Monty story from spring, and now the report they could let pitchers go and maybe budget conscious here. Is there a window in the future where you get a little bit of breathing room for that luxury tax threshold again and we could expect something? Because for now, it just seems like the only way to improve the team is, you know, to trade away prospect value because they just have no interest in adding payroll, it seems.
Yeah, listen, they have some contracts that will be off the book this year, you know, and guys like Nathan Eovaldi, Michael Lorenzen, Andrew Heaney, you know, and do you want to re-sign those guys? Who knows, but their contracts will be off the book this offseason. Obviously, we know the regional sports network thing plays into this and what the future looks like there. You know, I think you look at this team and your core guys are locked up. Some of your arbitration guys you still have for a few more years. You have DeGrom locked up for a couple more years, and you hope that he looks like himself when he comes out of the second half. So I think it's, you know, would I expect them to be like massive spenders again in the next year, you know, in free agency? I don't know, probably not. But, you know, I think you will have a little more breathing room this offseason compared to the previous one to make, you know, additions around the margins, I think.
One thing we haven't really spent a ton of time discussing is what they did in the MLB draft. I think the All-Star weekend certainly took a lot of shine off of that. And fortunately, they were picking 30th overall in the first round. They weren't picking in the top five like they have been in recent years. Did anything stand out to you from what they did over the weekend in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, they went heavy on catchers. Like they drafted four or five of them, including with their first-round pick getting Malcolm Moore from Stanford. Look, if you look at their farm system, it is probably their weakest position in terms of guys who are close to the majors. You know, they have a 18-year-old catching prospect who seems to be a promising prospect, but he's 18, you know, so it's going to be years away from him. And they got Malcolm Moore in the first round. He's a college catcher. You know, we know the college bats tend to move quicker. He had a great freshman year at Stanford, kind of dropped back a little bit this year. But I think that was the one thing I saw was they kind of replenished their internal catching depth. And, you know, they went, as they have these last few years, very heavy on college bats, college pitchers, you know, which is kind of the trend they've been in. And it was a weak high school class. But yeah, they, you know, catcher heavy and, you know, they continue to favor college guys over high school guys.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You mentioned Eovaldi a few minutes ago. I wanted to circle back on that. It was one thing to see Monty go. That Nasty Nate's a must bring back, isn't he?
I would think so. You know, I mean, he's been unbelievable for this team. You know, not even, you know, obviously the postseason was incredible, but he's one of those guys where the guys in that clubhouse, like when he goes out there every 5 days, like there is an enormous amount of confidence behind him. And he's a clubhouse leader. When he's healthy, he's one of the best pitchers in the American League. You know, he's not a guy. I mean, look, the Red Sox, he left the Red Sox, and I'm sure they would love to have not let him walk away. And I can't imagine the Rangers do either. But, you know, again, if he hits free agency and a team's going to pay him significantly more money than the Rangers would, who knows? But he's not a guy that I would want to let leave this clubhouse.
Sean McFarland with us here in the G-Bag Nation. You have a piece that just dropped a little bit ago, sticking with the rotation, about Max Scherzer. And I had no idea what to expect when Scherzer was coming back. I don't know if anybody did, but what are your thoughts on him when you were putting together that article, and maybe his future as well, because he's going to be a free agent?
Yeah, I mean, with Max, you know, I think, like yourself, we're all kind of in that boat of not knowing what to expect. You know, he's almost 40. This is not a minor injury he came back from. And he has just been very, very good for this team, the five starts he's made. We'll see what that looks like as he gets more starts under his belt, the regular wear and tear comes in. But, you know, he's very in tune with his body. He knows how he's feeling. I don't think he would be out there pitching if he did not feel as close to 100% as he can. Like, I asked him if he, you know, have you surprised yourself with how good you've been? He said, like, not really. Like, I wouldn't be out here if I didn't think I'd be good. And look, I don't know what the Rangers expected when he'd be healthy this year. I don't think they were fully expecting to get, like, you know, Cy Young winner Max Scherzer back. And they've gotten through five starts like a frontline starter, basically. And that's just a huge boost, considering this rotation's ideally only going to get better with Tyler Mahle and DeGrom and all those guys returning within the next month or so, hopefully.
Well, Sean, you were out there for all the All-Star festivities. I'm curious what your vantage point was for the infamous national anthem. And do you like my theory she was maybe overpoured by the robot bartender?
Yes. Adam, the robot bartender, asked, I mean, I saw the video. That's a heavy pour that robot has.
Thank you. Thank you.
Listen, it was... I was confused about halfway through the anthem. I was like, is this just an interesting take on the anthem I'd never heard? Like, what is this? I think everyone in the press box also shared that sentiment. I'm just glad that last night's anthem went off without a hitch. Everything seemed normal, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, he crushed it last night. It was Cody Johnson, right?
Yeah.
He was in his bag.
Yes. Yeah.
Who was the media member in the press box that was most disrespected and voiced that by the Home Run Derby anthem? Just give us just one name.
Let me think. I don't think so. I think I was, like, just trying to look at the floor so much that I wouldn't, like, make eye contact with someone. And, like, you know, I was just trying to, like, just stare at the floor, get through this, and, like, don't lock eyes with someone and, like, burst out laughing or something. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah. That was my mindset the entire anthem. So I think I got through that fine. That was my plan.
How was Boach after making some history as the winning manager?
Yeah, I mean, look, we talked with him yesterday, and, you know, he's obviously experienced it all in baseball. The World Series, the All-Star Games, the managing some of the best players to ever play in this game. But you could tell that I think he took a minute yesterday to really kind of appreciate the fact that this was his fifth All-Star game. He's coming off a World Series win. He's managing it in his home stadium. And you could tell that he really appreciated the moment, which I think is very cool, because, you know, when you're in the day-to-day grind of the sport or any sport, I think it can be hard to step back and fully appreciate the moment, but I think he did yesterday, and I think that's really cool to see.
Where do you think he appreciated the hideous uniform he was wearing that night?
The uniforms were tough, man. I think, you know, Rob Manfred met with the Baseball Writers Association of America yesterday and kind of said, like, there will be discussion moving forward about switching back to everyone wears their own uniform.
Sure.
It's, you know, I don't hate the idea of custom all-star uniforms. You know, I think if they're done well, it could be cool, but
yeah,
you know, it's been a couple of years now of like,
what's up with baseball and overall? I mean, uniform, it's been a problem since April, right? I mean, what is this just something that they just did not get right, or is this the manufacturing problem? What is the deal here?
I think it's a manufacturing problem. Like, I will say this, though. Like, it was such a big topic of discussion in April and spring training, sure, and understandably so. But, like, I don't think anyone's talked about it in months. Like, the players don't, yeah, at least the Rangers players, like, they weren't too bothered by it. Like, they recognized that there's a difference. They were fine with the old ones. You know, they're mostly fine with the new ones. But at the same time, they were just like, I don't know why we had to make this change in the first place. Sure. So we'll see what it looks like. I imagine and hope that MLB and Fanatics and Nike learn from this experience, and next year we're not spending all April talking about like see-through, yeah, pants and stuff.
Sure.
But it has not been as big of an issue once the actual baseball started playing. I can say that.
Yeah, I was watching the Dodgers play the other night, one of those games. I think they were in Washington or something, and it looked like that gray, it went to like dark, dark, dark gray.
Oh, yeah. Grays are the ones that, like,
yeah,
the Rangers, too. Like, it really,
yeah,
really shows. Like, the rest of them, I think, are mostly fine, but it's the grays where you can really see that there's, like, a significant difference.
Sean McFarland, Morning News. Great job covering the team, as always, sir. Thank you so much for your insights.
Thank you, guys.
There he is, Sean McFarland. Read his stuff. A lot of good stuff out there to check into, including a nice article. I mean, Max Scherzer, talking to the insiders just 6 weeks ago, they're like, we're not even sure if Max is going to play at all this year once the numbness started happening. Mm-hmm. So this has been amazing. You know, you're looking at vintage Max Scherzer out there right now. Okay, top 10's coming up. Well, Chuck, where are you taking it?
National Hot Dog Day, the top 10 best toppings for your dog. And is this the kryptonite for Patrick Mahomes? That's next in the Nation.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld at Odyssey Podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.